Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's broadcast of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're glad to have you with us here this week. We have a little bit of a special treat for you. We're going to be airing a talk that I gave recently on the issue of what is the spiritual life. And so this will be the first part of a two-part series on the topic, what is the spiritual life? So get your Bible handy. You may want to take some notes. There's some great points that are made in this particular broadcast, and we hope it's a real blessing to you. Thanks again for listening. Believe it or not, I'm not going to talk to you about sex this morning. Take a collective sigh of relief. Yeah, I know that I'm usually tagged the sex guy around the church. So I'm glad to see that you guys braved enough of that type of a stereotype to actually still come to Sunday school this morning. I want to talk about something else that really actually makes me possibly even more passionate than talking about sex. And that's talking about what is the spiritual life. And the reason this is exciting for me is because God started me on a journey about 8 years ago. Now, he started this journey about 27 years ago when I accepted him as my Savior. I didn't start actually listening until about 8 years ago. And the journey was simply this. This was it. What is the spiritual life? And the answers I've found have been somewhat disturbing. They have been uncomfortable. They have been anything but stereotypical. And so what I want to do this morning is share with you some of the things that I've learned in terms of answering this question, what is the spiritual life? Because see, for 25 years of my life, I didn't live what I would consider the spiritual life. I lived a religious life. And so in order to define what the spiritual life is, I think sometimes it's good to look first at what something is not. Kind of like whittle away all the parts to see a little more clearly what it is. It's like when Michelangelo would look at a block of stone, he would often say that he would see the sculpture within that stone. I'd look at it as just a block of stone. But in order to really define it, to see it, he had to chip away all that was not that sculpture. So let's start by looking first at what the spiritual life is not. First of all, it is not pretending. The spiritual life is not pretending. I want to read a passage from a book that I read recently that is a very good book by Michael Iaconelli. It's called Messy Spirituality. And for those of you who maybe have either grown up in the church or you've been part of just a what I would consider a religious system rather than a relationship with Jesus, this is a great book. I mean, if you have basically been choking most of your life on the dry dust of religion, this will be like a glass of cool water because you realize, there'll be some insights that you gain through this book. But he says in here, there is no room for pretending in the spiritual life. Unfortunately, in many religious circles, there exists an unwritten rule: pretend. Act like God is in control when you don't believe He is. Give the impression everything is okay in your life when it's not. Pretend you believe when you doubt. Hide your imperfections. Maintain the image of a perfect marriage with healthy and well-adjusted children when your family is like any other normal dysfunctional family. And whatever you do, don't admit that you sin. Practically, pretending is efficient, uncomplicated, and quick. Answering fine to the question, how are you doing, is much easier and quicker than saying, not very well, thank you. My back is bothering. My teenage children are disappointing me. I'm unhappy with my body. My husband never speaks to me, and I'm wondering if Christianity is true. Honesty requires a huge investment of time and energy from the person asking the question, who would then wish they'd never asked. The spiritual life is not pretending. But see, a lot of religion or religious people would tell you, listen, just fit in this box. And in order to fit in this box, you have to pretend, because the real you is not going to fit in that box. So the spiritual life is first not, or it is not pretending. The spiritual life is also not neat, tidy, or clean. I think a lot of times, you know, in my life growing up in what I would call a religious life, I had this perception that in order for me to be accepted, in order for me to gain the affection of God, I had to be neat. I had to have everything in order. I had to be tidy. That is not the spiritual life. That's a religious life. If you want a religious life, go for it. That's what it is. But it's not neat, tidy, or clean. The spiritual life is not that. The spiritual life is also not a moment in time. This is arrival type thinking. Thinking that somehow there's going to be a moment in time where you've arrived. That's not the spiritual life. That's the religious life. The religious life is you do get to a point where you've kind of basically shut off yourself from exploring anymore. Because, you know, every time you seem to explore, every time you seem to try to go deeper with God, He reveals things about you that don't fit into the box. And so you go, well, okay, I must have arrived. Or at least I need to let everybody else know that I've arrived. And so the spiritual life is not that. It's not a moment in time. The spiritual life is also not on a schedule. You ever know that God's will doesn't wrap around your agenda or your schedule? Never. I mean, it never does. It's like, if it happens, it's like the stars must have aligned, that somehow it fits into your schedule. And see, that's kind of the mentality we get, don't we? Religion says, fit God into your schedule. But the spiritual life is not on a schedule. Let me give you an example. Any Spurs fans? I'm a huge Spurs fan. I love watching basketball and I love watching the Spurs. Well, you know what last Thursday night was? The beginning of the NBA Finals. Go Spurs. Well, you know what Thursday night is also? The night that I meet with a group of guys every single week where we bang on each other, sharpen each other, we get into each other's lives, and we get real. And we meet from 7:30 to 9. Now, the game starts at 8, right? So I'm thinking, to be honest with you, I'm going, all right, we got to figure out a way to get done what we need to get done, but then we've got to make sure we get out of here so I can watch most of the game. Now, don't feel too sorry for me. I have TiVo, so. But go with me on this illustration, okay? Still, I was thinking in the back of my mind, you know, the game's starting. The game is tonight. Well, God has a great sense of humor, and He's been taking me on this journey of a spiritual life, and sure enough, we had a new guy in the group that night, and we went all the way until 9 o'clock, and then afterwards, I'm talking to this guy, and it's obvious that he needs encouragement. It's obvious that he needs really a touch of God. He needs hope. He needs to feel like his life can matter, that he hasn't ruined it, that it's not over. And so I'm telling you, you know, 9:05 hits, and I'm hearing what this guy is telling me, and it's like God is whispering to me, this is a spiritual life. It's not on your schedule. I have things that I want to do that go beyond your time and what you want to try to fit in and your selfish desires, and it's not on a schedule. The spiritual life is not on a schedule. God isn't bound by time. So what does it matter to Him if it takes 40 years for you to get something? It took the Israelites that long, you know? So it's not a big deal to Him. Time isn't the issue. So the spiritual life is not on a schedule. The spiritual life is also not isolated or hidden. But religion requires that you isolate yourself and you hide who you really are. You know, for most of my life, I was hiding. And I was isolated. Just to give you a little bit of my story, for those of you who don't know my story, when I was 12 years old, I saw pornography for the first time in my life. And it sunk its hook deep in my soul. But the first experience I had with pornography, I hid it. I didn't tell anybody about it. And that secret perpetuated for the next 13 years, to where ultimately my addiction had grown to prostitution, to seeking affairs outside my marriage, It caused me to be separated from my wife. It just destroyed me. I wasn't living the spiritual life. I was living a religious life. Because see, during many of those years, I was leading Bible studies. I was doing things that appeared like I had it all together, that appeared like I was a spiritual person. That wasn't the spiritual life, though. That was a religious life. That was a life, in order to do the religious life, you have to say, there are parts of me that will never be shared. There are parts of me that no one will ever see, sometimes not even my spouse. That's a religious life, but that's not the spiritual life. The spiritual life is also, and I love this, it's not reserved for the acceptable. This basically means the spiritual life is not judgmental. Most of my life, especially during those addicted years, because I had this belief that I had to be perfect or I had to have everything in order, I had to be tidy in my life in order for God to really approve of me, I would basically think that I couldn't be in God's family unless I was acceptable. Acceptable by my own standards, acceptable by this religious system, acceptable by all the rules that defined how my life should look. But what I love about the spiritual life is it is not reserved for the acceptable. Who did Jesus hang out with? I mean, he hung out with the losers. He hung out with the folks that the religious people said, see, there's no way this guy is the Son of God. Look who he hangs out with. Tax collectors, prostitutes, thieves. All these people that were considered the pushed to the edges of society, the edges of life. And Jesus doesn't make any hesitation. He beelines for those people. He says, those are the ones that I want. He even said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. The spiritual life is not reserved for the acceptable. Also, the spiritual life, unfortunately, is not lived by many. I want somebody to look up a verse here, or a passage. Somebody look up Matthew 7, 13 through 15. Only a few find it. Now see, this is near the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I am not going to ever pretend that I'm a theologian or, you know, have all doctrine all figured out. But I do know enough that the Sermon on the Mount was not a talk on the way to salvation. It was a talk about life in God's kingdom. So there's a vast difference. This wasn't a quote-unquote salvation message. This was about life in God's kingdom. So this idea of, you know, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. You know, religion can be on that road. Religion, guess what? A lot of people are attracted to religion. Why? I don't have to be real. I don't have to, like, admit that I don't have it all together. I can be fake. And there's a safety in religion because you can grab onto some rule, you can grab onto something that's going to maybe help you through a season of your life. But it's ultimately, it's empty, it's lifeless, it's powerless. And so the spiritual life is not lived by many. Because Jesus even said, you know, small is the gate and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. See, it presumes that there's a seeking going on. You have to look for the spiritual life. You have to be searching for it. So few find it. Because why? We have a lot to choose from when it comes to religion. We don't have to do much searching. You pop into just about any church in any particular religion, and you'll feel fairly comfortable in the sense that, oh, good, I don't have to admit all the stuff that I just did this last week. I don't have to talk about the realness of my life. I don't have to talk about how I'm yelling at my wife, my marriage is a mess, my kids drive me crazy, I'm feeling depressed. I don't have to talk about that because religion keeps me safe in this box. It also destroys your life because it says broad is the path that leads to destruction. Well, the good news is that I think spiritual life is something that God wants us to be involved in. I'll tell you this right now. Everything that I've just mentioned on what the spiritual life is not could easily define religion. It could define religion because religion is about systems. It's about rules. It's about containment. It's about these, sometimes, in some cases, arbitrary parameters that are put on our lives, basically to keep us behaving correctly. And I'll tell you, I did most of my life in a religious system. But the problem was, is religion never really helped me with my pornography and sex addiction. Religion never really helped me understand the why behind some of the things I did. Still don't understand a lot of those. But religion never actually brought any power or life into my existence. Religion was just about kind of moving me through in a safe way through this thing we call life. But did you know God has never, I don't think God wants us to be safe in our lives. He says He wants us to be free. Galatians 5:1 is one of my favorite passages. I'll read it to you. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." But then he says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You know, religion can be a yoke of slavery. Having this system that says this is how everything's supposed to be structured. We basically all need to start looking the same because that's safe. We don't have some wild radical over here that let some curse words slip out. We don't have somebody over here that has a whole bunch of tattoos. We don't have somebody that looks different from us. Everybody's got to look the same. That's religion. It's starting to cookie cutter everybody. And that's slavery. It says that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. In freedom, there is a lot of territory to explore. And some of that territory is not safe. You know, on this journey that I've been on in terms of answering what the spiritual life is, there have been plenty of times where I go, well, God, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to put my story on the internet and tell everybody all the stupid things I did. I don't really want to go travel around and tell guys all these things that I did. I don't really want to go tell them that I haven't gotten it all figured out and that I'm not perfect. I don't want to do that. That's scary. That doesn't feel safe. Can't I just go back into my religious box over here? It just felt kind of safe. And God keeps persistently whispering to me, okay, it might have been safe, but you were dead over there. You were a slave because you were a slave to that system. He said the reason that I died for you was to break you out of that. It wasn't just about setting us free from sin. It was about setting us free from religion. It was about setting us free from a system that would say, I'm going to control everything you do because it makes me feel better. That's really what religion boils down to. What happens in your heart? And you don't have to respond to this, but I'm just asking you to think about this. Because one of the things we try to do in our ministry is we really preach grace. We're not ashamed to preach grace. And one of the things that I will say to guys, that for folks who've grown up in a religious system that immediately resist this, is I say, you know what? God's grace gives you just as much freedom to fail as it does to succeed. That's how wide His grace is. It gives you just as much freedom to fail as it does to succeed. Now, for some of you in here, you're starting to spin things in your mind and go, wait a second, that does not fit. That cannot be right. There's no way God wants me to fail. Sure, He doesn't want you to fail. He desires that you begin to grow in Him. He desires that you make good choices. But His grace gives you just as much freedom to fail as it does to succeed. That's been a very difficult reality for me. Because my religious me says, I've got to resist that. I've got to say there's some type of limit to God's grace, that there's some way that I could actually get to the end of it, step off, and God says, whoa, that was just one too many. Sorry. Oh, you know what? I can't cover that one because you willfully did it. You know, I can't cover that one because you stepped into it and you even snubbed your nose at me. Nope, can't cover that one. See, for 13 years of my life, I was living a religious system while secretly I was doing all this stuff in pornography and sexual addiction, willfully, in most cases, snubbing my nose at God. In all of those years, I never once stepped outside of God's grace. Never once. See, that's a radically different way of thinking. Because, see, our religious system says there's absolutely no way God could be that good. There's no way He could be that merciful, that kind, that loving. But that's the way God is. That's what the spiritual life is. Let's take a look. Let's start looking at what the spiritual life is. Hopefully this idea of religion is starting to break away some of the pieces on the sculpture that God wants your life to be in terms of the spiritual life. First of all, the spiritual life is connection. It's connection with God and with others. I want somebody to look up another passage in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 22. Verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. What's the greatest commandment? Love. You know what I love about this? I mean, Jesus, it was like the answer's right there. And what's great is an expert in the law came to talk to him, right? A religious person came and said, what's the greatest commandment? Now, I've always wondered, why would a religious person want to ask him that? Because they're in the box of commandments. They're in the box of the law. They're saying they're structuring their life completely around this box of law. And Jesus just blows this guy's box up. Because this guy is saying, what's the greatest commandment? And he was saying it in a way that he was trying to catch Jesus. Because what it says here is, seeing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees step up and say, well, we can take him, you know. And they come over there and say, what's the greatest commandment? And then he says, love the Lord your God. But what I love about this in terms of the connection, the spiritual life being about connection, is he didn't say, love the Lord your God with the unhidden parts of your heart and with all the acceptable parts of your soul and with all the uncluttered parts of your mind. It said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. The hidden places, the dark places, the dirty places, the places you don't tell anybody about. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. And then what I love about it is, like this video showed us, there's no disconnection in God's mind about loving God and loving others. Because in Mark, the original text says, the second is the same as it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the idea of loving God with everything that you are. Hidden, dark, ugly places, and loving other people exactly the same way. Loving them with everything that you've got. No matter how ugly and untidy and unneat that looks like. It's connection. The spiritual life is about connection. Therefore, the spiritual life is also honest. The spiritual life is honest. Religion sets us in that box of pretending. And God is saying, I don't want you to pretend. You know how empty that is? You know how lifeless that is? There's no power in that. Because God is not in pretending. God is in honesty. You know, I've always found it interesting. Back in Proverbs, there's a passage that talks about the seven abominations of God, seven things that he hates. It always cracked me up that two of them were lying. It's like he just really wants to drive home the point. I don't like pretending. I don't like dishonesty. So the spiritual life is about being honest with God, but also being honest with others. I like what Rob had to say here in this video. How you love others is how you love God. You know what I used to think in my religious life? I used to think, you know, well, there's certain things I can just take to God, you know, just me and God. You know, we're tight. We can do this private thing over here. We can talk about, yeah, these fantasies in my head and the sexual addiction. We'll work on that alone over here. You know, I never experienced any freedom from sexual addiction when I tried to do that. Now, am I saying that God's powerless? No. But he does not separate connection with him and connection with others. It's like they're all interwoven. And that requires an honesty that most of us are very uncomfortable with because of the fact that we've just been in this religious system. That kind of, it feels safe over here. It feels like, okay, man, I don't have to get out of this box. Yet the whole time you feel this kind of gnawing dissatisfaction with your life because you feel like you're still missing something. You feel like there's some element that's still not there. And sometimes God is whispering, yeah, you're not living the spiritual life. You're trying to find life in something that's empty. Religion will never equal God.
Well, that's where we're going to have to break this week's broadcast. We hope that you have enjoyed these first points on the spiritual life. And be sure to come back and listen next week as we wrap up this two-part series on what is the spiritual life. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you back here again next week. Well, listeners, if you were wondering what video I was talking about during this session about what is the spiritual life, and you noticed I mentioned a guy named Rob a couple of times, that's Rob Bell, and he's a pastor of a church up in Michigan, and he's an incredible communicator. He has a whole series of short videos that are very powerful, and the one that I used in this particular talk was one that was entitled Bullhorn. And you can get all of Rob's video resources through their website at pneuma.com. That's N-O-O-M-A.com. Again, his name is Rob Bell, and it's pneuma.com.
I gave my husband an ultimatum, which was very hard.
Some of the things I was involved with were taking over my life.
It got to the point where I had an affair.
I had basically been lying to her for about 10 years.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn. At New Life, we want to take away every barrier to winning the battle against sexual addiction. We've made the Everyman's Battle program shorter, so anyone going doesn't have to miss work. We've lowered the price, and we've reduced the distance you have to travel, because we're holding it in several cities every month.
For the first time, I heard somebody talk my language. I didn't feel like God's first mistake anymore.
In July, we'll be in Allentown, Nashville, and Sacramento, California. And in August, we'll be in Denver, Santa Ana, and Washington, D.C. If you've called us before about someone you love or care about, and they couldn't make it work to attend, please call us back at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you've never, ever called, take the first step toward helping someone find freedom from sexual addiction. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every man's battle changed my whole life completely.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.
Men, are you looking for a good place to start your journey towards purity? Then I want to recommend our 40 Days of Purity workbook. It is an outstanding resource that gives you daily insights and practical purity tips that you can use to become the man of purity that you want to be. We also want to give a 10% discount to all of our listeners. So if you will go to our online store at PureLifeResources.com, and when you check out, use the coupon code RADIO. Again, that's www.PureLifeResources.com and use the coupon code RADIO to get your 10% discount on our 40 Days of Purity workbook.